Folks, before we get started with the homemade broadcast, I want to tell you quickly about nttfitness.com. What is that? Well, I'm glad you asked. If you're like me, if you're like most Americans, you're fat, you're lazy, you want food, and you want it now. You're hungry, you're going to go through the Burger King drive-thru, and you're going to get one of those dollar tacos because you want to see what all the fuss is about, and you're disappointed, and you should be. You should be ashamed of yourself. NTT Fitness is a food delivery service, but it's not just food, it's good food, and it's good for you. Use my code LEVELUP15, you'll get 15% off your first order. There's macros, there's micros, it's stuff you should put in your body. NTTFitness.com. LEVELUP15, 15% off your first order. All right, let's start the show.
Beach Drive, Rob Carr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com. RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, everybody, this is Kevin Farley, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Homemade biscuits, homemade broadcast.
Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome back to the program. Phone line is open today, always holidays, nights, overnights. 813-693-2124 if you want to get in touch with the program. HMBRadio.com is the website. That's Hotel Mike Bravo Radio.com. Subscribe to the podcast if you have not. Because on Fridays, I got a special bonus episode that's only available on that podcast feed. I think you might like it. So subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Just search HMB Radio, all one word. That should be enough. But if you throw the Tampa Bay in there, you'll definitely get it then. And if you go on HMBRadio.com right now, you can read a story about a Stranger Things star. Do you like that show? Well, David Harbour, better known as Sheriff Hopper, will be in town at USF next week, or this week, I guess, technically. So if you want to hear a celebrity give you a good talking to about why why everything's completely effed here and why he's a better person than you, you can go down to the Marshall Center and read about how over at HMBRadio.com. They haven't released what the talk is going to be about, but come on, you know. That guy is the most sanctimonious ass, and that's saying something, because there are people in Hollywood are just, you know, ass wipes. They're so out of touch with the common man. They have no idea what's going on in the world. This guy, I put the video up from the SAG Awards. I think it was from 2017 or something. He went on about, just how everything's like, don't you have eyeballs? How everything's terrible. Like, go outside, man. Look around. It's not that bad. I know things aren't great, but they're not that bad either. Holy crap. You would think the world is coming to an end. They're impeaching the president. Bombshell report. And then you find out later, nah, it was overblown. Nothing's going to happen with the impeachment. I don't know what they think is going to happen if they get this other guy, the vice president, that's going to be president, if he does get impeached. Oh, my God. Are you not frustrated with this stuff? It's driving me insane. It's driving me completely out of my mind. I shouldn't have to deal with this. Neither should you. And I'm sure most of you probably don't, to tell you the truth, because you're smart, and you're not smart, you're dumb, and you don't pay attention to any of this stuff. And that's why you're smart, because you're not listening to anything that's going on. And I don't blame you. I really don't. I feel like you should be informed. You know, it's kind of your duty, but I don't blame you for not bothering with any of this stuff. If you don't, it's nonsense. It's just, you're just going to get frustrated. You know, you're just going to be on Twitter talking crap. You're going to be, I've never seen social media, and Twitter is the number one place for people to be, have a very strong opinion about something they know absolutely nothing about, don't care to know anything about. They just have their sect, their tribe that they like, and that's who they're rolling with. And if you disagree, well, you're on the other team. And then you go, no, I'm not. I read about this stuff. Nah, you must be on that other team. You go, okay, all right. That's how it is. That's how it is. So anyway, go to HMB Radio, read about David Harbour, Sheriff Hopper, coming to USF. I went and saw... Are you watching Disney Plus? Oh, my God, Disney Plus. That was the main thing I saw this week. Nobody was shutting up about Disney Plus. These are adults who are just watching kids' stuff for $7 a month. And then these are the same people who complain that the world's terrible. Why is it so terrible? You get to sit inside and watch your cartoons all day. It's not that bad. It's great. It's the only time in history you could do stuff like this. Things are so good right now. People are just living in perpetual adolescence, enjoying their cartoons that they liked when they were a child from a Disney streaming service. Hey, Brink's on there. Ever see that? Yeah, I saw it when I was a teenager. And then I moved on with my life. Who has time to watch TV? If you have time to watch TV like that, where you're just binge watching 18 hours of Disney, old Disney movies, cartoons, you got, your life's too good, man. You need a solid rough patch in your life. It's terrible. I saw, I don't watch TV really that much. I did watch Watchmen. Watchmen's pretty good. I like that. That's on HBO. It's based on the comic. I never actually saw the movie, but the show looked cool. So I started watching it. But of course, the main bad guys in it. Well, actually, I don't even know who the bad guys are. It seems like everybody's kind of anti-hero in that whole thing. But the main bad guys that are portrayed are this group of white nationalist racists. And I'm really enjoying the show, so I can tolerate it. But yeah, it's made me roll my eyes quite a bit. But that's doing pretty good. I watched that Paul Rudd show, Living With Yourself. I enjoyed most of it. I kind of lost interest a little bit halfway through. Came back to it because I was done catching up with The Watchmen. Ending of that stunk. Storytelling is, I think every story has been told. I've heard that every story has been told either in Shakespeare or the Bible. Everything else is just retellings of that. I saw The Joker, which was good. I saw that a few weeks ago. And then my dad, his wife will never go see anything with him. So he's like, hey, you want to go see The Joker? Last weekend I went, ooh, sorry, dude, I already saw that. I'll go see it again, though. Yeah, I don't mind. And he goes, oh, crap. Okay, well, how about Terminator? And I went, I heard that stinks. But if you want to see that, sure, I'll go with you. I'll spend time with you. And I will go watch this movie. So we did. And it stunk. It was action-packed. It was a good action flick. You get some good action. But other than that, it's the same damn story as Terminator 2. Same story. Just new characters. New characters meaning chicks. It's all chicks in the action roles. A bad guy's a white guy. Or not, I don't even think he is white. I think he's a Mexican guy, actually. But a guy. He's a man, and he's trying to kill these ladies. Now, he's a robot, but still a robot in human form. And it's the same damn story. John Connor and what's her name? Linda, I forget her. Sarah Connor and John Connor. But it's a female hybrid Terminator and some chick that lives in Mexico. That is, they say, like, oh, it's the Mother Mary story again. which it is, and that she is going to spawn the man who is going to save humanity from the Terminator robots. And then you find out at the end, spoiler, I'm sorry, I'm going to spoil it for you. No, she won't spawn the man who's going to save humanity. She will be the one to save humanity. Yep, that's right. Wow, didn't see that one coming. That wasn't obvious. Oh, my God. And I don't really care about, I swear I don't care if a woman is a hero of these stories. But they crowbar it in there so much where it's so obvious. They have to make a statement just really driving the point home that women can be heroes too. Who are you talking to? I don't know who these people are talking to. Now, I heard Nick DiPaolo, the comedian, say that his suspension of disbelief will not allow him to watch Angelina Jolie kick the crap out of 8 Navy SEALs. Yeah, I know it does kind of take you out of it, but you just got to go, it's a superhero movie. It's a movie. So you go, okay, that doesn't bother me. I can get over that. But I also understand what he's talking about, because this tiny little lady is going to be the save, and she's just beating up a Terminator. A killer robot that can turn into liquid and then also has the regular robot body. So there's two of them, so they can adapt and all that stuff. And she ends up killing the robot in the end, this tiny little lady who has no experience, obviously with murdering anyone, but just finds her way. She's the superhero. Again, it's a movie. You know, I get it. But my God, do they try to crowbar this stuff in there. It is exhausting. James Bond's going to be a black lady now. 007. Okay. What? All right. I know 007 is just an agent, but it's always traditionally been a guy who's a pee hound and goes around and, you know, goes on secret missions and bangs chicks. So I don't know. Are they going to, like, I guarantee she's going to be a lesbian or something too. The new James Bond. So, I don't know. Movies stink. I don't even bother anymore. I don't know if anybody, I guess people go to the movies. You got all these streaming services now. You can just watch Disney movies, kids movies, relive your childhood over and over and over again until you die. That sounds fun. 813-693-2124, hmbradio.com is the website. The Homemade Broadcast is brought to you by True V Salon and Spa. TRUV is in Victory Y, salonandspa.com, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, right here in St. Petersburg. Check Chrissy out. Go get a haircut. Go get your hair did. Holiday parties are coming up. You want to make sure you look better than everybody else. At least put some lipstick on that pig. So make your appointment today. True V Salon and Spa.com.
The Homemade Broadcast is on RadioSaintPete.com.
The Florida Strawberry Festival last Thursday released a lineup of entertainers who will perform on the Wish Farms soundstage this year. It's an 11-day festival. I didn't even know that. February 27th to March 8th in Plant City. It celebrates the strawberry harvest of Eastern Hillsborough County. This year's theme is Our Perfect Vision. The theme centralizes around the festival's perfect vision for fun, which includes rides, food, entertainment, shortcake, and much, much more. Each year, over 500,000 visitors enjoy the festival's headline entertainment, youth livestock shows, exhibits, commerce, and, of course, the strawberry shortcake. Remember when Elizabeth Warren posted that strawberry shortcake that she made on Twitter? And it was the most pathetic thing I've ever seen in my entire life. It's three ingredients, which is some sort of cake, a biscuit, or a sponge cake type thing, strawberries, and then whipped cream. That's it. She just made this monstrosity. It just looked like a huge biscuit covered with strawberries. No whipped cream. Only communists don't like whipped cream, folks. Always remember that. This year's lineup at the Strawberry Festival includes Jimmy Sturr and his orchestra, the Oak Ridge Boys, Rascal Flatts, Tommy James and the Shondells, Michael Ray, Roots and Boots, An Evening with 98 Degrees. Oh, Nick Lachey's in town. Bobby Bones and the Raging Idiots, Reba McEntire, Neil McCoy, Patti LaBelle, Sarah Evans, Skillet, Chubby Checker in the Wild. I didn't. Wow, Chubby Checker's still alive. That's incredible. Awesome. Josh Turner, Ricky Nelson. Ricky Nelson remembered, and it's the Nelson brothers. Ricky Nelson's been dead, I think, for a long time. Dick Fox's Golden Boys, starring Frankie Avalon's still alive. Holy moly, Fabian, Bobby Rydell, Mercy Me, Jimmy Fortune, Darcy Lynn and Friends. I don't know who any of these people are. Battle of the Bands Finals. Oh, Charlie Wilson, Eli Young, and the main event, Sunday, March 8th, Leonard Skinnerd. The announcement for our headline entertainment is highly anticipated event, said Florida Strawberry Festival President Paul Davis. We received many calls throughout the year leading up to the event from guests who are eager to hear about who will be performing. Advance tickets for admission and for the headline entertainment shows will go on sale Thursday, December 12th at 8 a.m. and can be purchased online and at the Amscot main ticket office located at 2209 West Oak Avenue in Plant City, and over the phone, 813-754-1996. In some other local news, there's a nonprofit that is building tiny houses for homeless vets. The tiny house movement is sweeping the country as mini homes, less than 500 square feet, capture the public's imagination. They're an interesting alternative to soaring housing prices. Now, a St. Pete nonprofit is capitalizing on that idea by launching a novel project, Tiny Homes for Homeless Vets. Celebrate Outreach, a partnership of St. Petersburg faith-based congregations and individuals, will break ground on the group's first tiny home for veterans on Veterans Day this past Monday, which was on the 12th. According to Sabrine Von Allock, great name, the Celebrate Outreach Tiny Homes for Homeless Veterans project leader, the goal is to help homeless vets put their lives back together and become self-sufficient, starting with getting them off the street and giving them permanent roof over their head. Our mission at Celebrate Outreach is to end and prevent homelessness. We do this through direct aid, advocacy, and education, says Von Allock. Hot meals are a big part of that aid. In collaboration with two downtown St. Petersburg churches, Trinity Lutheran Church and Unitarian Universalist Church of St. Petersburg, Celebrate Outreach serves more than 16,000 hot meals annually to area homeless individuals every Friday evening and Saturday morning. But the nonprofit group wanted to do more and began talking about the possibility of building homes for the homeless. Now, this sounds like a great idea. I got to say, yeah, we build some houses, put homeless people in it. What I'm concerned about, I'm going to be a curmudgeon about this, obviously, is I feel like a lot of the people's idea of help is just throwing money at things and not really addressing the issues. Why are these people homeless? Usually people tend to be homeless because they're either mentally ill or they have some sort of substance abuse, or they have substance abuse because they're mentally ill. It's usually one of those three things. Very rarely is it because they've come on hard times. You know, there's that myth out there that there's a single mom with three kids living in the back of a truck. You know, they got the kids in the back seat and, you know, they're just trying to get by, just trying to find a job. Yeah, that does exist, but I would say 99% of them are mentally ill or substance abusers or both. So if you put mentally ill people in a house, what are they going to do? They're just going to trash the house. I saw a story. Oh, my God. I got to try to find the audio for this story because it made me. I mean, it was funny, but I also felt so bad for this lady. This was out of California. Let me see if I can find it here. This poor lady. Oh, is this it? Is this the audio? Yeah, okay. All right, listen to this. I've been thinking about this all week, and I hope it's going to gross you out. I'm just warning you, trigger warning here. I'm going to give you a trigger warning, but listen to this.
Just steps away from the Hollywood Walk of Fame, a horrifying random attack.
A homeless man dumped a bucket of stuff on your head.
A bucket of his diarrhea. I didn't want it to be in my mouth, but it was running down my eyes.
Oh my God. Can you imagine if this happened to me, if a person did this to me, some mentally ill homeless man, probably with a lot of substance abuse issues, who doesn't eat, probably just drinks, saved his diarrhea and then threw it on you. I would just say, kill me. Throw me in an incinerator. I'll never be clean again. This poor woman. Holy crap.
For over a year, the NBC4i team has been tracking crimes where the suspects are homeless. Tonight, we have learned those incidents are skyrocketing. Investigative reporter Joel Grover reports on the growing threat linked to the untreated mental illness and drug addiction on LA's streets of shame.
Keep your eye on the woman walking out of this apartment building. A homeless man approaches and suddenly smacks her in the head. There are now thousands of crimes a year like this one, in which the suspects are homeless, and in many cases suffering from mental illness or substance abuse.
It's so traumatic. Sorry.
Heidi Van Tassel was walking to her car near Hollywood's Walk of Fame when, according to police and court records, a transient with schizophrenia and psychotic disorders dumped feces all over her.
Yeah, we know that it's somebody who's mentally ill. I'm sure it's not a, you know, doctor coming home from work. We know.
Bucket of his diarrhea. It was liquid. Hot liquid.
Hot liquid.
Was soaked. And I couldn't see. It was coming off of my eyelashes.
Oh, no.
Into my eyes.
Paramedics rushed her to the hospital, and she now needs to be tested for infectious diseases every 3 months.
It's something I won't ever forget. It was disgusting.
Oh,
my God. I don't know how you would ever feel clean after that. And then you have to have this constant, like, oh, I might have a serious disease now as well that maybe won't show up for a few months. I'll have to be checked weekly to see if anything pops up. Can you imagine, too, just like it's in your, they're like, yeah, all your tests have come out good. You're good. Don't worry. You're fine. You know, you're finally finding piece of, you know, poo particle under your fingernail every now and again, but just a few now. You know, you're doing better. Your mental frame is good. You know, you're finally starting to feel clean again. And then they go, oh yeah, you got AIDS. It didn't show up, but this last test, the last test of the 3 months, yep, sure enough, AIDS.
For a year, the I-Team has been reporting on crimes where the suspects are homeless, like this guy arrested for setting fire to chairs at a downtown steakhouse, and this homeless man pushing someone in front of a truck. There were more than 6,000 of these reported crimes in L.A. in 2017. By the end of 2018, the number of crimes was up more than 50%, and now we've learned the numbers are on track to climb even higher this year. We found case after case where the suspects suffer from mental illness or methamphetamine abuse. Meth use has been linked to violence, and so is untreated mental illness.
How could you live in this kind of environment and be okay?
You mean, right? Mentally okay?
Mentally okay.
Reverend Andy Bales runs the Union Rescue Mission. Does life on the streets lead to violent behavior?
Absolutely.
Like the attack on that woman on a downtown LA street. Keep watching. Just seconds later, the man punched another victim, attorney Brandon Cohen.
Were you kind of in shock when it happened?
What was shocking was that I lived here for 4 years and it didn't happen sooner.
We found the homeless who are arrested for these crimes are often right back on the streets without getting any treatment or help.
I am always on the lookout.
We discovered that Brandon Cohen's attacker, Charles Fuller, had 4 previous felony convictions. But after he attacked Cohen, the cops simply gave him a citation for battery and let him go.
And that's California. I don't know what it's like in St. Pete. I don't think it's quite that bad, but we have a lot of the same problems here. I haven't really seen any homeless be violent down here, but they're very tolerant of that sort of behavior in California. So I don't know. I talked to this dude one time. He used to come around and always, I think I told this story before, but what can I say? Sometimes you're going to hear the same stories. This is relevant. He used to always be like, hey man, let me wash your car and all this stuff. Seemed like a nice dude. He was drunk though, as a lot of these people are, but he worked for his habit. So I kind of respected that. And sometimes I would let him wash the car. And I saw him downtown one night, and he was carrying around this giant stuffed dog. He pulled it out of a dumpster, cleaned it up the best he could, and was trying to sell it at First Friday, just walking around, some stinky homeless man trying to sell some large teddy bear. I don't know why he thought that was going to sell, but, you know, he gave it the old college try. And I asked him one night, like, dude, what can society do for you, for people in your position? And he just went, nothing. You know, and that's what I worry about with these. It's nice to want to give somebody a house, and it seems to make sense. Like, I always thought when I was younger, like, oh, we'll just, there's a bunch of empty places just all around the country, apartments and buildings and living spaces that are just vacant, you know, foreclosures. Why don't we just put these people in a home? Well, because they're mentally ill, and then they're going to destroy the place. They're not capable of living in society with either their mental defects that they have going on, or they're just substance abusers and they'll just use it as a crack house. So I don't know. I get it. You know, your heart wants to help, but sometimes it's not feasible. And just throwing money at a problem is not going to fix anything. There used to be state hospitals where they would send people like this. And I struggle with that because obviously you don't want to just lock somebody up who didn't do anything. But also at the same time, these people, you know, in California are doing stuff. They're hitting people, they're throwing people in front of trucks, they're throwing diarrhea on people. If that's not a wake-up call that you got to do something with these people, get them off the streets, they can't live in society. They're just running amok. I mean, what do you do? I think Geraldo Rivera did a story about some state hospital in New York it was a bad one. It was not a good one, and there's a lot of abuse going on, and just people being left to their own devices in this hospital, and it wasn't a good place. And then after that, these hospitals didn't really exist anymore, so these people aren't getting the help they need, so they end up on the street. So what's better? I mean, what's better, being locked up in a hospital where you're treated for your ailments? Who decides that you're ill? That's another thing. Like, does a judge get to decide? Some psychologist gets to decide? That I see that could potentially be a slippery slope down the line. But if you're throwing diarrhea on somebody, obviously you're mentally ill. If you're just slapping somebody in public numerous times, something has to be done. You either have to go to jail or you got to go to the hospital, one or the other. So I don't want to see people just locked up for no reason. But we lock people up for drugs. That's for no reason. So if they can go somewhere where they can get treated, get on medication, that would be a way that they could really help. But just putting them in a home and saying, there you go, buddy, I'm sure this will help. Well, who's going to pay the property tax on that place that they're in? And what's going to happen when they destroy it? Who's going to be on the hook for fixing the place that they destroyed? So I don't know. I think it's a nice gesture, and I certainly do hope that this tiny home things for veterans does work, but I don't know. I don't have much hope. I think it's going to end up being a colossal failure, but who knows? I don't want to be perpetually negative all the time. So I'll keep my fingers crossed, and I hope it does work, and God bless. But I'd like to hear what you think about this. 813-693-2124, hmbradio.com. You can reach me on Twitter and Instagram at @home_made_man.
You're listening to The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.
The Homemade Broadcast is brought to you by HomemadePodcasts.com. Homemade Podcasts is a company. It's my company, and it specializes in podcast. Yes, podcasting, if you will. If you're an individual who is looking to get into that type of thing but doesn't know where to start, or you're a business that wants to reach new and existing clientele, well, I can help you because I'm talking to you through that medium right now. You can reach me at homemadepodcasts.com. Earlier this week on Stay Woke, we were talking about the Florida Gator football team and the wife of the coach, I forget his name, but anyway, the wife of the coach got in trouble this week because she was kissing some of the players. And, you know, you see that on the surface and you go, what the hell? It wasn't what we thought, of course. But some dumb bitch on the internet wrote a blog about how this was sexual harassment. And since we're fools, we went ahead and talked about it. So I want to play a clip of that conversation for you. You can find Stay Woke every midnight on 102.5 The Bone or thebononline.com, or you can get The Bone app because you can get Stay Woke anytime you want on demand. So get the app, 102.5 The Bone in iTunes or Google Play, and let's check out this clip from Stay Woke.
the wife of a coach at the University of Florida. Okay, so the University of Florida football team, I believe this is the head coach's wife. She's under a little bit of hot water because she's been kissing the players. Now, when I first saw this, I'm like, oh, man, what an old whore broad. I can't believe yeah. she's doing that.
Gross.
And then Johnny was like, did you see the video? And I was like, no, why would I do that? I like to make snap judgments on things I know nothing about. And he said, maybe you should watch it. And it is just the sweetest thing. It looks like an older son. She's probably like in her 50s. Here's a little clip from the thing.
It shows the head coach's wife kissing players on the University of Florida football team. It's a game day tradition.
Every time we get off the bus, she's always ready to give us a hug, kiss on the cheek.
Megan Mullen looks the young men square in the eyes, offers a few words of encouragement, and then kisses them on the cheek. She also leaves little notes by their lockers. Love you, Mama M. Some are calling it gross and disrespectful.
I think a high five is cool. I'm going to say no bueno on the hugs and kisses.
Sports blogger Karen Phillips accuses the coach's wife of sexually harassing
Okay. Well, here's the thing, though. Like, when I saw it, and she's being just so sweet. Like, she's just kissing them on the cheek,
There's
giving them good luck.
There's nothing sexy about it.
It's 0% sexual.
It's like a mom.
It's very motherly. Exactly. It's almost kind of like it reminds me of just like Southern hospitality, or maybe like an Italian family. You know, we'll do that. I get that all the time where I go to, like, my best friend Deba is Persian. When I go over to her house or anything like that and her grandparents are there or uncles, whatever, it's always kisses. That's just how they do things. So, again, not sexual in nature. I was thinking she was making out with the players, like, behind her husband's back. But this is very, very sweet. But then you brought up, Will, that, you know, if the roles were reversed, say this was a girls' volleyball team, for example, and say there was the coach's husband or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, come on, girls, come on over here. And he was
smoocheroo.
Kissing them on the cheek. Would that be appropriate? I don't know. If he's like a very old man, an old Italian man, maybe I can see that kind of getting away with things. But it doesn't feel right if the roles are reversed, which leads me to believe maybe it's not inappropriate in the way that it is now. Because to me, it looks very sweet. Like, I would like this. If I was one of the players and I was getting, like, just hugs and kisses from, like, this woman who, you know, this is part of her life. She made these kids, well, they're grown men, but, you know, these college students, part of her life, almost like her adopted sons. You know, she's writing them notes. She's giving them kisses, giving them words of encouragement. I think it's very sweet, but is it crossing the line, though? Because if it were reversed, people would not be okay with it.
I mean, I kind of almost appreciate the fact that they are calling this sexual harassment as a man, because I feel like they're at least trying to levy these rules equally.
Right.
Right? But this is ridiculous at the same time. Obviously, this is not a sexual thing. She's just being, like you said, it's just a maternal type.
Right. It's not predatory at all.
No, not at all. And I mean, it's pretty obvious by the tape. And we also have to understand that if it was a girls female volleyball team and it was a guy doing this, totally unacceptable. It's a double standard. Double standards exist in society. We need to stop acting like they don't. People are different. Men and women are different. The rules don't apply evenly to every situation. And this is a good example of that. This is nice. This is sweet. It wouldn't bother me in the least if I got a little kiss from her on the cheek.
Right.
But if it was my daughter and it was some dude,
some old man.
Yeah, kissing my daughter on the cheek, I'd want him dead.
Of course.
So it's just a double standard. They do exist. And we have to accept them in society. There's nothing wrong with this. But I appreciate the effort that they're punching down. Me too. If we're in this Me Too world and we're saying that you can't do this stuff anymore, I kind of, while I think it's silly and this sports blogger is wrong, I kind of appreciate her saying, like, yeah, this is unacceptable. You can't do that. This is sexual harassment, even though it's not.
No, absolutely not. And I don't think any of the students, any of the players are complaining. I think it's people, onlookers, who are looking at this going, hey, that's not right. That's too much in your face. And much like you said, if you're going to level the playing field, then this is something that probably should be done, because it would be inappropriate behavior if the roles were reversed. It's funny because I was actually thinking about this. I don't know why when I was like listening to NPR, but I think we were talking about, equality, things being equal, fighting for equal rights, all that sort of stuff. And when it comes to social proprieties where, say, for example, even when you talk about dating and you're like, men should pay, like I hear people say that all the time, men should pay on the first date. Someone actually asked me that this last weekend. Do you think that men should pay on a first date? And I said, well, I feel like we need to unpack the word should. What do you mean by should? What does should mean? Does that mean they're a bad person if they don't pay? Or is it just not a good strategy? Because I feel like those two things are different. So I kind of got into a little bit of a discussion about that. But no one is fighting for women are fighting for equal pay, but no one is like fighting for men's like rights on a first date. Like, we should split the bill. Like, why aren't we splitting the bill? Like, no one is expecting that. No one is saying that. No one is fighting for that. Not even men are fighting for that.
Right, right.
So that's just really bizarre to me, because if you could imagine where it was like women should be paying for this on a first date, people would be outraged, you know? But as far as like our society, but it's funny that we're happy to keep those double standards alive. It's like, oh, yeah, men should definitely pay. I hear people say that all the time, and I always want to correct them because I'm like, what do you mean by should? Are they a bad person if they don't? No, absolutely not. I always just say it's just a bad strategy to get what you want. If your end game is to woo the girl, you're not wooing her by not paying for the bill.
And that's the whole point of going out on dates is to – because I don't know how you feel or how many dates you've even been on, but I would imagine when you're first going out with a guy, you're very unsure and you're very like, I don't know what I want to do. You might like really like him, but it would be very easy to lose it too. So you might be, oh, I really like this guy. He does something weird. And then you're totally turned off.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. You can get turned off very easily because you're not invested at all. Right? So you're very, very judgmental. There's no attachment. You don't know this person. You know, once you get to know someone and you like them and they do something kind of quirky and weird or rude, you know, obviously you're more likely to forgive them or not leave them over something so small because you just don't know them. But yeah, but I always tell, and my sort of reaction when I was having this conversation with like with someone who said, do you think a guy should pay on the first date? And I think he was expecting me to say, yes, of course, a guy should pay. But I don't like the way that sounds, because that's not fair to guys, right? But I would be unattracted. I would be turned off if a guy didn't pay. Yeah. And I was liking him, things were good, and then he wanted to split the bill. I'd be like, ooh, that just turned me off.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty simple. Like, if a man asks you out, then he's asking you out. I think it's kind of implied that he's going to pay for it.
Right, but this is something that I've learned to do over the years is, ladies, if you're unsure about the guy, obviously, don't do anything that is really expensive. Right? Because or even really time consuming. But it can be time consuming in the sense that if you have a drink, it could be an hour or it could be 6 hours. Like you could if you are enjoying yourselves, so you can stay longer, obviously.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
But as far as like a really fancy dinner goes, I never suggest that for a first date.
No.
Obviously, because if it's going bad, you want to bounce out of it. But even if you do kind of like him and he pays for this big date, you're gonna feel indebted. Maybe you're going to feel indebted to do something sexually with him and you're going to feel kind of bad. Like, I feel like I've been in situations like that before. I'm like, oh, God, this guy spent so much money on me. Like, do I have to kiss him? Like, I don't, you know, you feel kind of indebted. But if it's just like a drink, you're like, okay, that was $6. Everything's fine.
I wonder if that's common where women feel that way, that they have to, that they almost feel guilty if they don't do something.
Yes.
Because that is probably something that we should nip in the bud. You know, now
but the expectation is there, you know? I feel like even with the guys, too, it's like I hear it all the time. It's like, I bought her dinner or nothing. Or, like, I bought you drinks all night and, you know.
Yeah, but that's the guy. Like, what idiot guy just takes a girl out to Ulele or whatever on a first date? I mean, you know that it might not happen.
Absolutely.
To think that, oh, it's definitely going to happen. She owes me. I just don't think that's as common. I don't think that happens a lot. I think guys are smarter than that.
Right, but the thing is, a lot of guys do. Well, a lot of guys like to flex, you know what I mean, with their money
flex.
And stuff like that.
I mean, like, I would, too, if I had money like that. I got a buddy who does that all the time. He just, like, takes girls out to nice dinners, and sometimes it does work, where he ends up taking a girl home, and maybe it is
because she feels guilty, right? So, again, if you have a lot of money and you want to flex your money, then it's really no, it's not really going to be any, like, it's not going to hurt you at all. It's not even going to put a dent in your lifestyle at all. But the girl, on the other hand, will be like, geez, like, and if she's like completely unattracted to him and stuff like that, I don't think she would go for it. But if she's kind of on the fence and you paid for this really, really nice dinner and she's going to go, oh, God, like, now I feel kind of bad if I don't do anything because he spent all this money on me. And like, I feel like I owe him something. Like, and I don't think that I'm alone in this. Ladies, call in 727-579-1025. And it's not like an explicit quid pro quo or anything like that. Like, if I pay for this fancy dinner, you're going to give me X sexual favor, whatever it may be. But it's just this unnecessary guilt and or pressure that I think a lot of women feel, myself included. So because I know that about myself, I purposely don't put myself in those types of situations anymore at the beginning at all.
I don't know what kind of psycho, like, invites a girl out to a dinner like that initially. That just seems unreasonable to me. I mean, maybe because I don't have, you know, extra income like that to just throw around. And maybe if I did, maybe I would. I don't know, but it just seems like my thing would be, if what if I don't like this chick?
All right, there we go. Stay Woke Midnights 102.5. The Bone, 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. HMBradio.com is the website. If you want some Stay Woke stickers, some HMB Radio stickers, hit me up. Slide into my DMs, home_made_man on Instagram and Twitter. And with that, I'm going to get out of here. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcast, thank you. Tell a friend. Subscribe to it. Fridays, we've got the bonus episode that goes up. You're going to love it. I just know it. My name is Will Koontz. This has been HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Have a good one. See ya.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.